Welcome back, Deep Divers. Today, we're gonna be diving into the world of Bible translation.
Ooh, sounds complicated.
It can be.
Yeah.
But it's also super fascinating. We've got some excerpts from a lecture by Dr. George Payton.
A leading scholar in the field.
Exactly. And he really brings up some interesting points about all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes to get the Bible into different languages. Like, we're not just talking about word swaps here.
Right. It's a lot more than that.
Yeah. We're talking about like bridging cultures, figuring out how to balance accuracy with readability, and even like navigating different religious expectations and beliefs and stuff.
It's kind of mind-blowing when you think about it. You know, one of the things that really struck me from Dr. Payton's lecture was his perspective on the whole literal versus free translation debate.
Oh, yeah. You mean that age-old question about whether you should like stick really close to the original language or try to make it flow smoothly in a new language?
Yeah, exactly. And Dr. Payton, he actually says that those terms, literal and free, they're actually too simplistic. Like, they don't really capture the true nuances of what Bible translators are actually trying to accomplish.
Okay, I'm intrigued. I gotta admit, I think most people, when they think about Bible translation, you know, they just think it's a matter of like, oh, you just find the equivalent word in another language and you're good to go.
Right. It would be nice if it were that easy.
Right.
But it's so much more than that.
Yeah.
Dr. Payton, he really emphasizes that translation is about transferring meaning.
Not just words.
Not just words. Exactly. It's about understanding the original intent of the writer and then conveying that intent in a way that makes sense in the new language and culture.
So it's not just about like mimicking the sentence structure or whatever. It's about actually getting the point across.
Okay. Like, you know, think about idioms, for example.
Oh, yeah.
You can't just translate them word for word. You have to understand the meaning behind them.
The figurative language.
Exactly. And to illustrate this, Dr. Payton shares a really interesting anecdote from Tanzania.
Okay.
So translators were working on a new translation of the Bible, and they were trying to update this century-old version that was very literal and difficult to understand.
So they were aiming for something a little more readable, a little more contemporary.
Precisely. You know, they wanted to make the Bible more accessible to people.
Yeah, you'd think people would be on board with that, right? I mean, who wouldn't want a version of the Bible that's easier to understand?
You would think. But get this, the local community, they actually rejected the new translation.
Right.
Yeah. They preferred the old one, even if they couldn't fully grasp it.
Wow. Why would they prefer a version they couldn't even understand? That doesn't make sense.
Well, because to them, the Bible was supposed to sound, you know, difficult, almost mystical.
Oh, I see.
It had this weight, this authority, this kind of, you know, because of its complex language.
So it was like less about the words themselves and more about the feeling, the aura, the
reverence.
The reverence, exactly. So it's not just about understanding the words on the page. It's about understanding the cultural baggage that comes with those words.
You got it.
Wow. That's a powerful insight.
It really is. It makes you think about, you know, our own assumptions when we approach the text.
For sure.
And that's just one example of, you know, the kind of cultural sensitivity that Bible translators, they have to navigate.
It's like walking a tightrope, right?
Yeah.
You got to be faithful to the original, but also make it understandable.
Exactly. It's a delicate balance.
So how do they do it? How do translators actually make sure that they're capturing the original meaning without, you know, without accidentally imposing their own interpretations on it? Like, what are some of the techniques that they use?
Well, one common technique is what they call backward and forward translation.
Okay, I'm listening. Backward and forward. That sounds interesting.
Yeah. So basically, the translator will, you know, they'll translate a portion of the text from the original language into the target language.
Okay.
And then they'll have someone else translate that same portion back into the original language, and this is key, without actually looking at the source text.
Oh, so it's like a double check to make sure that the meaning hasn't gotten lost in translation.
Exactly. By comparing the original text to the back translated version, they can spot any places where the meaning has been distorted or lost.
So it's like a safeguard.
It is. It's a way of ensuring, you know, accuracy and faithfulness to the source material.
That makes a lot of sense. It really highlights just how meticulous this whole translation process really is.
Oh, absolutely. And it gets even more complex when you consider that there are actually different types of translation.
Wait, hold on. Different types of translation. I thought translation was, you know, translation. What do you mean by that?
Well, Dr. Payton, he outlines three main types. First, there's what he calls intralingual translation, which happens within the same language.
Huh. Okay. So like when you're paraphrasing something for a child, or like when you're simplifying technical jargon for someone who's not an expert.
Yes. Perfect examples. We actually do intralingual translation all the time without even realizing it.
Right. Okay, so that's intralingual. What are the other types?
Well, then there's interlingual translation, which is the one we usually think of, right? Like translating between two different languages.
Right.
But here's where it gets really interesting. There's also intersemiotic translation.
Intersemiotic. Okay, I'm going to be honest. I've never heard of that one before. What is that all about?
So intersemiotic translation, it's about translating between systems of signs, not just words.
Systems of signs. Like what do you mean by that?
Think about it like this. You're translating the message, the ideas, not just the literal words.
Oh. So like if you were to turn like a Bible story into a graphic novel, or even write a song based on a passage of scripture.
You got it. It's taking the Bible's message and translating it into a different medium.
Huh. So something like VeggieTales would actually be considered a form of Bible translation.
You got it. It's cartoons in that case, but it's still translating the Bible's message.
Okay. That's really interesting.
Dr. Payton, he calls this scripture engagement. Mm-hmm. You know, it's using different forms to help people connect with the Bible's meaning.
So it's not just about, you know, trying to come up with this perfect word for word text.
Right.
It's about finding creative ways to make the message accessible and engaging.
Exactly. And it really shows that there's no one size fits all approach to Bible translation. It all depends on the goals of the project, the target audience, and the cultural context.
That makes me think about all the different English translations of the Bible that are out there.
Right.
They must each have their own priorities and approaches, right?
Exactly. And that kind of leads us to the question of what actually makes a good translation.
Okay, yeah, that's a great question. Like how do you even measure that?
Well, according to Dr. Payton, there are four key qualities.
Okay, I'm all ears. Lay them on me.
Well, the first is accuracy.
Yeah.
The second is naturalness, and then there's clarity, and finally acceptability.
Okay, those all sound pretty straightforward in theory.
Mm.
But can you break those down for us a little bit more? Like what do those actually look like in practice?
Sure. So accuracy basically means staying true to the original meaning of the text. It's about choosing words and phrases in the target language that accurately convey the sense of the original Hebrew or Greek. You know.
So it's kind of like what we were talking about before with the backward and forward translation, making sure that nothing gets lost or twisted around in the process.
Exactly. And then you've got naturalness. That's about making sure that the translation flows well in the target language. It shouldn't sound, you know, awkward or stilted. It should sound like something that a native speaker would actually say.
So it's not just about being like technically accurate.
Yeah.
It's also about making it sound good.
Yeah.
Make it easy to read and understand.
Yeah. Precisely. And that kind of brings us to the third quality, which is clarity. So a good translation, it should be easy to understand, even for people who aren't, you know, scholars or theologians or anything like that.
Right. You want the Bible to be accessible to everyone, not just a select few, right?
Mm, right. And then finally there's acceptability. And this one refers to the cultural expectations and preferences of the target audience. Like what might be acceptable in one culture might not be acceptable in another.
Yeah. Can you give us an example of how cultural expectations might influence a translation? How would that actually play out?
Sure. Dr. Payton talks about this Bible translation project in Central Asia where the translators, they were aiming for a very simple, easy to read style. They thought this would, you know, this would make the Bible more accessible to the people.
Which makes sense on the surface, right? Like, the easier it is to read, the more people will probably be able to access it and understand it.
You would think. But here's the thing. The translation was actually met with a lot of resistance.
Yeah.
And in some cases, it was even burned.
Burned. Whoa. Why such a strong reaction? Like, what was it about the translation that people found so offensive?
Well, because in that particular culture, religious texts were expected to have a certain level of formality and complexity. And the simple language of this translation, it was seen as disrespectful, almost like they were dumbing down the Bible.
Oh wow, that's a really powerful reminder of how important cultural context is in translation. It's not just about finding the quote unquote right words. It's about understanding how those words are going to be perceived by the people reading them.
It really is. It's a delicate balancing act for sure. Translators, they need to be, you know, faithful to the original meaning of the text, but they also need to be sensitive to the cultural expectations of their audience.
So how do they do that? How do they find that sweet spot? Like how do they make sure that their translation is both accurate and acceptable?
Well, a lot of it comes down to testing and feedback. So they'll share portions of the translation with native speakers of the target language, you know,
yeah,
people from various walks of life, and they'll get their input. They'll ask questions like, does this sound natural? Is it easy to understand? Does it feel like a sacred text? You know,
so it's very much a collaborative process. it's not just like scholars working in isolation. It's a whole team of people working together to try create the best possible translation.
Exactly. And it's not just about, you know, reaching the average person in the queue, either Dr. Payton. He emphasizes the importance of translating for pastors and other, you know, other religious leaders.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Because they're the ones who are going to be, you know, teaching and preaching from the text.
Right. They need to have access to accurate and clear translations in their own language so that they can, you know, so they can properly understand and teach the scriptures.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. But couldn't pastors just use like commentaries or other resources to help them understand difficult passages? Like why is it so crucial for them to have like a good translation in their own language?
Of course, commentaries and other resources are valuable, but having a clear and reliable translation in their own language, it gives pastors a much, much deeper and more direct understanding of the text.
Okay.
It allows them to, you know, to preach and teach with more confidence and authority.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because if you're trying to like explain these complex theological concepts to people,
yeah,
you don't want to be stumbling over the language of the translation itself, right?
Exactly. And sometimes nuances of meaning, they can get lost in translation, even in commentaries.
Oh, the good point.
So having a well-translated Bible in their own language, it really empowers pastors to really delve into the text and extract its full meaning.
So it sounds like Bible translation can have like a ripple effect, right? It's not just impacting, you know, individuals reading the Bible on their own, but entire communities through the teachings of their religious leaders.
Absolutely. It's about equipping the whole community to engage with the scriptures in a meaningful way.
Yeah, that's powerful. I'm really starting to appreciate how much thought and care goes into every aspect of Bible translation.
Yeah.
It's far more complex than I ever realized.
It really is. It's a fascinating field, and one of the most fundamental decisions that translators have to make is who is the intended audience for this translation.
Right, right. Because a children's Bible is going to look a lot different than a, you know, a study Bible for scholars or something like that.
Precisely. And as Dr. Payton points out, there is no one size fits all approach. Mm. You know, each translation project, it has to consider its specific audience and tailor the language and style accordingly.
Yeah.
But generally speaking,
go on. I'm hooked.
Most translations, they aim for an audience of adults between the ages of 25 and 45.
Okay. Why that age range specifically? Is that just an arbitrary choice, or is there a reason behind that?
There's definitely a reason. It's seen as a sweet spot in terms of language comprehension and cultural relevance. You know, if you target an older audience, the language might feel archaic or unfamiliar to younger readers. And if you make it too simple, it might not resonate with those who are, you know, more mature in their faith.
So it's like finding that Goldilocks zone. Not too old, not too young, but just right for a broad audience.
That's a great way to put it. It really highlights the need for translators to strike a balance between accuracy, readability, and cultural relevance.
This has been a real eye opener for me. Knowing all this, how should we approach the Bible translations that we read? Like what questions should we be asking?
Yeah. It's a great question, and it's one that that we all should be asking ourselves. You know, like, now that we know all this stuff about Bible translation, how does it change how we approach the text itself?
Right. It's one thing to learn about the ins and outs of translation, but what does it actually mean for us, the everyday readers of the Bible?
Well, I think it starts with just a deeper appreciation for all the work that goes into creating the translations that we have. You know, like, it's so easy to just take it for granted, but there are countless people, translators, linguists, scholars, cultural advisors, you name it, who have dedicated their lives to making the Bible accessible to us.
It's like we've been given this incredible gift, and we haven't even really stopped to think about all the effort and care that went into making it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think understanding the process, it can also make us more discerning readers, you know, instead of just blindly accepting whatever's on the page, we can start asking questions about the translation we're using.
So what kind of questions should we be asking?
Well, for starters, you know, what translation philosophy did the translators follow? Were they aiming for a more literal rendering of the original text, or were they prioritizing readability and naturalness in the target language?
Okay, yeah. But how would we even find that out? Where would we go to get that information?
Most Bibles have an introduction or a preface that explains the translation philosophy and the methodology. Yeah. It's worth taking the time to read that and really understand the choices that the translators made.
Okay, that's a great tip. I'm definitely guilty of skipping over those introductions. I just want to get right to the text.
I get it. But taking a few minutes to really understand the translation can really enhance your reading experience.
Okay.
And speaking of different translations, it can be really illuminating to compare how different translations render the same passage, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. I've definitely noticed that even within English, there can be quite a bit of variation between translations. Sometimes it's just, you know, a subtle difference in wording, but other times it can be like a completely different interpretation of the meaning.
Exactly. And that's because, you know, there is no one perfect translation. Each translation, it reflects the priorities and the decisions of the translators.
Right.
And those decisions can really shape how we understand the text.
So maybe instead of getting like caught up in debates about which translation is, you know, quote unquote best, we should be embracing the diversity and recognizing that each translation has its strengths and its weaknesses.
I think that's a healthy approach. And ultimately, you know, understanding the complexities of Bible translation can actually deepen our faith, you know?
How so?
Well, it reminds us that God's word, it's transcended time and language and culture to reach us today.
It really is mind-boggling when you think about it, that something written thousands of years ago in completely different languages and contexts can still speak to our lives in such powerful ways.
It's a testament to the enduring power of God's word and to the dedication of all those who have worked to make it accessible to us.
Well said. So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's your final takeaway for our listeners? Like, what's the one thing you want them to walk away with?
Don't take your Bible translation for granted.
Okay.
Be curious, be informed, and be grateful for the gift of God's word in a language you can understand.
I love that. Be curious, be informed, and be grateful. Wise words to live by. And hey, if this deep dive has sparked a passion in you to learn more about Bible translation, there's some There's some amazing organizations out there doing incredible work.
Oh, absolutely. Groups like Wycliffe Bible Translators and SIL International, they're working tirelessly to bring the Bible to people, groups who have never had it in their own language. You know, they're making a real difference in the world.
It's inspiring to know that this work is still ongoing.
Yeah.
Even today. Well, folks, that wraps up another deep dive. We've journeyed through the fascinating world of Bible translation, explored its challenges and its triumphs, and hopefully gained a deeper appreciation for the gifts of God's Word. Until next time, keep those minds curious and those Bibles open.